Matthew chapter 19. Today being Mother's Day, a day where we set aside all other days and all other things in life to celebrate our mothers. Now, some of you have gone out and bought your mothers something very, very nice, right? Now, in your eyes, I've found in times past, especially now that I've grown up and I've thought about some of the things that I bought my mother, and I thought, you know, that was such a nice thing. Dorcas, it wasn't very nice. It was nice for me, but it really wasn't all that nice for her. But some of y'all have bought something very nice for your mothers. Others of you, as soon as the service is over, you're going to take your mom out. You're going to stand in long lines at a restaurant just to feed your mother something good because of all the meals she's fed for you, right? Some of you are going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to call my mother because the long distance and I can't get up there. So I'm going to call my mother and have a conversation with her. But some of us can't take your mother out for a good meal and you can't buy her a present. Or if you did, it would seem kind of silly because your mother is no longer here on earth. Now, do you know that there's a way for all of us, every single one of us, to honor our mothers and the Lord today at the very same time? That's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, I love killing two birds with one stone. Now, Angie, I'm not going to kill birds, okay? I have to watch what I say around Angie. She gets, you know, she's... I want to see this morning what a good mother looks like. Amen? Now, Scripture tells us what a good mother looks like in several different places. But I found a very unusual scripture that I want us to read. And it's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Matthew 19, verse 13. Scripture says, "Then children were brought to him," being Jesus, "so he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Then Jesus said, 'Leave the children alone and don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like this.' After putting his hands on them, he went on from there." Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful that you love us. There's some of us that aren't very lovable. God, really all of us at times are not very lovable. But you love us anyway. And Lord, I just thank you for the love that we feel in this church with other members, God. And Lord, we feel the love that you have for us. And thank you so much for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would be with us during this little bit of time we have for this message. God, I pray that those who are here will hear this message, God, and take it to heart. And I pray that you'll open our eyes, God, that we might see ourselves in this message. Help us to search ourselves, Lord, that we might be of better service to you. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. As we consider this scripture and we consider this message of what a good mother looks like, I think it's important for us to understand and look at some background information to understand how unusual it is for this scripture to be where it is in Matthew chapter 19. The first thing I want us to see here is this scripture in verse 1 through 12. It's very unusual. Verses 1 through 11 deals with Jesus, what Jesus considers marriage. Christ then deals with divorce and ends in verses 10 through 11 talking about eunuchs, a person who does not marry at all. The scripture following verse 15 deals with the rich young ruler wanting to inherit eternal life. Now, what I think is strange here is what I want to point out in this scripture, because it just seems out of place. It does not really fit with the topics that Matthew is addressing. What I really want each of you to see is what Matthew could have excluded. He could have excluded this story because it really didn't fit. But it was included because the message desperately needed to be heard, and that day it was written, and the day that we live now. He didn't exclude it. It doesn't fit. I want you all to go back today, because we don't have service tonight, y'all, in your quiet time tonight, read Matthew 19. It really doesn't have a place. It doesn't fit, but Matthew did not exclude it. He made sure that this message was in there. Now, These three verses may seem out of place, but they are three verses that are powerful. If we as parents will listen, if you as mothers will follow these instructions, your children will be in good hands, even in hard times. They will be in good hands. Is there anybody in here who has not gone through hard times in your life? We all have. I want my children to be in good hands, not if they go through hard times, but when they go through hard times. They're coming. They really are. Now, what does a good mother look like? What does a mother do? What will a good mother do? Well, let's read verse 13 again. Verse 13 says then this, "Then children were brought to him so that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them." Now, I want to ask you here for a second. Who was it, do you think, that brought these children to Jesus? Now, let's look at the grand scheme of things and let's understand Jewish tradition. Y'all know how Brother Kyle is with Jewish tradition. We have these disciples, and they're standing around, and somebody is bringing children to Jesus. Okay? Now, who could it have been? Now, if it was a group of priests that were bringing those children to Jesus, do you think the disciples would have had objection? No, I don't think so. Scholars will agree, they don't think so. Now, if it was a group of men, a group of fathers that was bringing this group of children to Jesus, do you think that the disciples would have objected? Well, scholars don't believe so. Well, who in the world could it have been that was bringing these children to Jesus where the disciples, the men, objected? Mothers or women? And the disciples were upset about it. They rebuked us. Hold on a second. Don't be bringing those children over here where Jesus is. You see, women did not have a place and time in that society. Do you realize that Jesus was the greatest proponent for women's liberation? Nobody said amen there. I don't get that. He really was. Scholars believe that women were bringing these children to Jesus, and the disciples opposed, and Jesus said, hold on a second, don't you bring those children to me. Church, a good mother will bring her children to Jesus because she knows Jesus is all her children need. Do you hear me? A good mother, some of you aren't mothers yet, you need to write this stuff down. This is good stuff. It's not for me. A good mother will bring her children to Jesus because they know Jesus is all her children need. If she can get her children to fall in love with Jesus, there is nothing life can throw at them that they cannot overcome. Nothing. Do you realize this? If you can get your children to fall in love with Jesus, there's nothing, Brother Ricky, there's nothing that life can throw their way. There's nothing that Satan can throw in their way. There's no obstacle that they can ever be in front of them that they can't overcome if they are in love with Jesus. Nothing. Now, let me go back here for a second. You are very simple-minded if you think you're going to walk through this life unscathed and never have problems. Never. I didn't plan on going here, but I've got to go here this morning. It seems like here lately, about once every other week, twice a month, sometimes more than twice a month, I'm hearing of students, high school students, who are taking their lives. And it breaks my heart. And I have to step back and wonder. Did they know Jesus? Did they know Jesus? Did the parents bring them to Jesus? Did they know? Did they know that somebody loved them? You see, because this is an unbelievable crisis in their life when they feel like they have to take their life. If Jesus was a part of their life, they could overcome anything, church. And I'm not sitting here trying to presume that every person, because I can't do that. But we need to prepare our children, if we say we love them, to give them the greatest example, and that's Jesus, it's not us. The greatest example. A good mother will do anything to help their children fall in love with Jesus. Well, when does this start? When exactly does this start? When does this start to happen? For a mother to bring her children to Jesus, first, she must be in Jesus' presence herself. She has to know and have a personal relationship that is vital to her. If Jesus is not important to her, then Jesus will never be important to her children. Do you hear me, church? To get your children to Jesus, Jesus has to be important to you. Listen, you can tell your children about Jesus all the time. You can quote Scripture. You can write beautiful messages about how you love Jesus on Facebook, Twitter, all those social medias. But listen to me, until your children see that love of Jesus in your heart, it's not going to be important to them. It's not. You know, I've said this before, but it's pertinent where I'm at today in the Scripture. I am not your children's role model. Please do not point to me, Brother Kyle, the preacher, as your child's role model. I hope that I'm an influence on all of your lives at some point in time, but I am not your child's role model. You are. And if church is not important to you, it's not going to be important to them. If God is not important to you, He is not going to be important to them. It's sad, but it's the truth. So when do you start telling your children about Jesus? When do you start? Brother Junior Hill, years ago, preached in a message that I'll never forget. It's forever stamped in my brain. He and his wife went to go to Atlanta to see their very first grandchild. Very first grandchild. And Junior Hill's wife walked into the room and saw that baby for the very first time. And she picked that little baby up. Baby! Baby up! And she started cuddling that baby in her arms. And she started talking to the baby. Arlene, you know what she said to that baby? She said, "You know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, and Jesus rose on the third day." Hey, listen, you start the very first day, you start pouring into that child's life the love of Jesus. There's nothing more important than the love of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing's more important. You start from day one. Now, some of you might be sitting there and thinking, well, my children are grown. My children are gone. You know, our children are watching. They're watching from a very young age. How am I? You know, what's my equation in all this? I can raise my hand and say I am. You see, my parents didn't go to church. My parents still don't go to church. Who was my influence? Who did I look at? Who did I watch? Her grandparents. I watched them. And I watched people in the church that didn't necessarily have children, but I saw how important Jesus was to them. I saw something in them, and I wanted to be that way. I wanted a part of that. I wanted what they had. I wanted the love they had, the security they had, the fire they had, the desire they had. And it was important that I saw them every single week. Well, let me ask this. You know, Scripture says that we need to bring our children to Jesus, and we saw this morning that it seems as if these women did bring their children to Jesus. How often do we bring our children to Jesus? Because we're just looking at one instance here in the Scripture. How often do we bring our children to Jesus? Listen to me. Every chance you get. Every chance you get. You saturate them. Can they get enough? Can I get enough of Jesus? Is there a stopping point, Bob, where I'm just so full of Jesus I don't need any more? Absolutely not, especially in the day that we live in. Listen, you walk out those doors and it's evil. And it sucks the life out of you. I mean, just watch the news, read the paper. It sucks the spiritual life out of you. I can't get enough of Jesus to prepare myself to walk out those doors, and neither can you. How often should you bring your children to Jesus? Every opportunity you can. Every opportunity. Listen, every chance. When Jesus comes to town, people knew that He was there. And I can't imagine someone sitting at the house knowing that Jesus was there and say, "You know, I think I'll find something else to do. I'll do something else." I know enough about Jesus. I don't need to go see him. I don't need to talk to him. I've already seen him once. I've experienced him once. Why do I need to go back and see him again? Church, listen to me. We need to oversaturate our children with Jesus. Amen? And ourselves. Listen to me. As long as your children are in your house under your authority, you need to bring them to Jesus every time the doors are open at church, because there is a time coming. Listen to me, and I can experience this. I've experienced this. There's a time coming when they make decisions for themselves, and way too often our children do not choose to come to Jesus. If you love your children, bring them to Jesus. Now, there's times when your children are going to need your help. Oh, my Lord. There are times when your children need your help. And, you know, I wish that my children would come more often and say, Dad, I need some advice. But all too often, Tony, it comes with, Dad, I need some money. Amen, Dan? Dan's my mechanic. On my birthday, last Saturday, sitting down relaxing, enjoying my day, the phone rings, and it's Alex. Dad, I'm broken down on the side of the road. Why can't he fix it himself? He couldn't. It was Dan, I don't even know if Dan's going to be able to fix it. But listen, I mean, it's always... what we need to do as parents, we have to help them, you know, physically and financially, but the greatest thing we can do is spiritually saturate them with Jesus every waking hour. Church, bring them to Sunday school. Bring them to VBS, youth events, youth Bible studies, summer camps, trips to the zoo, trunk or treat. Listen, Scripture tells us if we will do this as parents, as mother and dad, when they get old, they remember all the time someone loved them enough to take them to Jesus. And if they have left Him, Scripture promises us as parents, they'll return. Thank you for the Scripture. Amen? They'll return. Church, we need to bring our children to Jesus also, because Jesus said something very important in this Scripture. He said, the kingdom of heaven is made of people like this. These children. The kingdom of heaven is made of people like this. What exactly does that mean? Made of people like this. Does this mean that heaven is made of children and children only? No. But it kind of, you know, alludes to that. What this means is that heaven is made of people who have faith like a child. Childlike faith. Jesus wants us to have childlike faith in order to believe and follow Him. That's important. If we don't saturate our children, bring our children to Jesus every opportunity we have, there's a chance they're not going to have that childlike faith. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity or gone out and tried to witness to somebody in this world. It's very seldom that you ever come across somebody who has childlike faith. They've got worldly faith. They've got barriers built up all around them. And to say Jesus in their name, I mean, it all of a sudden throws up this barrier of unbelief. What a childlike faith is you can walk up to a child in the middle of a summer in kindergarten when they're having a squirt gun party outside and say, listen, it's going to snow this afternoon. And they're like, really? I've got to go get my jacket and my gloves and my sled. They believe it. That's childlike faith. And that's what Jesus wants us to have as believers, not just as children, but all our lives. Amen. To have childlike faith, knowing that He can do the impossible. Men, do y'all remember when Superman, when you were a kid and Superman, you saw Superman on TV? I mean, the original Superman. Some of y'all gentlemen in the back, y'all remember see the original Superman. I mean, he could leap tall buildings in a single bound. He was faster than a what?
Locomotive.
I remember seeing the commercials for the first one. He stood like this right here and bullets were ricocheting off his chest. Now, I don't know about you, but I believed it. Gary, I did. I was like, man, that guy, that dude's, I mean, wow. I believed that. You know what that was called? childlike. I had childlike faith that Superman, listen, Jesus is greater than all of that. My Jesus can leap a building in a single bound. He's faster than a locomotive. There's no bullet that can stop him. The cross couldn't stop him. The beatings couldn't stop him. Church, I have to be honest here. There's been some things that Jesus has told me to do. That if I did not have childlike faith, there's no way in this world I'd have done them. There's no way. When Jesus knocked on my heart, and I was working at the Charlotte Pipe and Foundry, downtown Charlotte, good job. It was a great job. I've told you I was pushing one button at a time and making $33 an hour. Anybody want to sign up for that? Hey, Caleb's on the front row raising his hand. It was a great job. God said, hey, you're going to be a youth pastor in Monticello, Kentucky. What? Where? Yeah, Monticello, Kentucky. You're going to be a youth pastor. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to cut your what you bring home in half. Amy's not going to have a job. You're going to go up there. Your bills aren't going to change, but I just go ahead on. Huh? God, hold on a second. You know, I've been watching them health, wealth, and prosperity guys on TV, and that's not the deal they're telling me. You know, hold on a second here. Yeah, I'm going to cut your salary in half. Amy's not going to have a job. Bills are going to stay the same. Just go ahead on up there. Do you know what kind of faith you have to do that? And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not some super spiritual Christian. I just had childlike faith, and I knew that God was going to take care of me. I didn't know how He was going to do it, but guess what? I knew He was going to do it. As I look back, Amy and I scratch our heads because the bills did not change. I could not make the money, but there was never a time where I didn't have dinner on the table. There was never a time where I didn't pay the bills on time. Now, there were times where I had to rob Peter to pay Paul, and I had to pay Paul twice, but there was never a time. And it was always strange, brother, there were times when there was no meat in the freezer, and I'd walk outside that morning to go to the mailbox or to look at just look around. And there'd be a cooler sitting in the front of the house, and it'd have a cooler full of eggs in it. Or a cooler full of chicken breasts. And I'm serious, chicken breasts. There was a chicken production place down there. Yeah. God always took care of us. All He wants us to do is have childlike faith. You've got to bring them to Jesus for them to have childlike faith. You have to. How can we instill this faith in our children? The only way we can is first knowing whatever happens, Jesus knows about it, and He already has it under control. I don't know what you're going through today. Billy Graham used to say there's a hurting heart on every pew. I don't know what you're going through today, but listen to me. I want you to understand something. Jesus already knows about it. It's already under control. If you'll just give it to Him and have the faith that He's talking about this morning, He's got it. He's got it. When our children, listen to me, when our children see our faith, their faith will grow. That's a beautiful thing. When our children see our faith, their faith will grow. We have to let our children see hard issues in our life and let them watch what happens through the process and let them see how once again Jesus got us through. He always, Courtney, He always gets us through. Always. My children have seen me do a lot of things. They've seen me and their mother struggle through many difficult issues. But one thing I hope they can see more clearly than the struggles is how Jesus always got us through the other side of the struggle. Where does that come through? Childlike faith. Childlike faith. This morning, Jesus wants you to bring your children to Him. You know, you can do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter how old they are, how young they are. You know, listen, Jesus wants you to bring them to Him. You know the great thing about my Jesus? The children, you need to bring them. If they're young enough and they're under your house, you need to bring them. Oh, yeah, you need to be screaming and kicking if you have to church. Yeah, you need to bring them. But the great thing about Jesus is this. Is when they get older, you can bring them to Jesus and they don't even have to be here. How in the world is that possible? You fall on your face before Jesus and you say, Lord, I bring Kyle Jr. to you. I bring Alex to you. I bring Emily to you. Because there's things I can't control, but you can. That's how you bring them to you, to Jesus. Continually. They never get too old. What does a good mother look like? A good mother brings her children to Jesus because she knows He's the only one who can forever keep her baby safe. The only one who can ever keep her baby safe. A good mother shows her faith daily as an example for her children to follow when times get tough. Now let me ask you, the last question, let me ask you this. Are your actions bringing your children closer to Jesus, or are your actions pushing them further away from Jesus? Can your children see your strong faith in tough times? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You and we thank You so much that You are our Father. God, You love us so much. God, You gave us this Scripture in the middle of just two crazy things that are going on. It's a diamond in the rough that we might know You and love You in a greater way. God, I pray that You would just fill us right now. Lord, help us to come down and bring our children to You once again. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar is open. Mm-hmm.